Keep in mind, we have a number of types of financial statements. When you're going out to start a business from scratch, or you're buying a mom and pop, the people are looking for a financial statement that has cash flow. Because when you're starting a business or buying a mom and pop, there's a lot of times not enough money to repay the debt. So the people are looking for the statement for what? For cash flow, so you can pay debt. When you start to get over $50,000 and $100,000 net profit businesses, you're going to find most people are asking for a financial statement because they want to find out where the down payment's coming from. Do you have the money for working capital? That's what they're looking for. The business already makes a ton of money. They're not worried about the repayment of the debt. What they're worried about is what? In most cases, the down payment. So they're looking for a basic thing. I also want you to realize right now, and I want you to listen to this over and over again. When you work on businesses that make over $50,000 and $100,000, very few of them need financial statements. Very few of them need real estate guarantees. October 1984, when we first started in that period, we started to announce this program. During that period, we had many people calling us continually that needed help, that didn't have a financial statement, didn't have a real estate guarantee. Do you know what happened to all the calls we had as follow-up in our seminars? After we told people it was available and reassured them and showed them definite proof, they quit calling. Why? Because once you know it's there, I hate to tell you this, you're not going to need it. So what I want you to do, before you go out and do anything, I want you to listen to this over and over and over again till you find out how ridiculously simple it is and how easy it is to get this and what the benefits are. And when you go out and you run into a situation where you need either a financial statement or real estate, you're not going to bat an eye. You've got it, or you can get it. You don't have to worry about it, as long as what you're doing makes sense, okay? And you're willing to give up whatever is required. One of our students called the office recently, and again, we get a lot of things like this, that Art said in the seminar that getting a financial statement is easy. Well, those aren't my words. Here's what I really tell you in seminars, I'm going to tell you right now. If you don't have a good enough financial statement to go through a business broker, a merger and acquisition firm, or get involved in a business, I suggest you find somebody to go in with you. Now, on all the other types, outside of these three areas, you basically don't need that. But if you do have that problem, instead of fighting it, why don't you find somebody with a financial statement? Why keep fighting the problem? Are they out there? Yes. And if you have something that makes sense, are they difficult? No, they're not. Incidentally, once you do that and have the financial statement, the door's open, and it's easy. And again, I say easy here. I don't like to say easy. That's a basic mistake. It's easier. Over the years in business, the reason we have so many people that succeed, we have simplified the area of business. Many people then think that we're saying it's easy, easy. There are areas that are easy, but the overall business transaction is a difficult one. Now, is it easier than it used to be? Yes. Is it simple today? Yes. Okay? And with that, can you do it? Yes. The only bad thing is you have to maybe leave television for a while. Now, again, putting together a financial statement is not easy. It's simple. Again, that's what I just said. After you get the statement, the rest of the effort is relatively easy. Why? Because a lot of you have mental hang-ups in this area. Once this is provided, once you have it, or once you know it's there, what happens is your whole attitude changes. And what happens is you go out and put together transactions and do things in business you wouldn't normally do. Why? It lifts you up a level. Is it available? Yes. Is it real? Ho-ho. Is it ever? Ever since we started doing it, I hate to tell you this, we've always had more people come to us with financial statements than we've had those of you come back to us that needed them. So we actually have more supply than we have demand. Let's look at the next page now. Let's look at the financial statement, joint venture, possible uses. Why would people want this? Number one, borrowing power. You're starting a business. And when you start a business, it gives you more borrowing power. You can get a better rate. You can get loans you couldn't normally get. You're going to find you have borrowing power in expanding a business. You can get a better loan, a lower interest rate. In a lot of areas, you can get loans you couldn't normally get. Why? Let's face it, if you put up enough security or enough strength for a bank or a lending institution, even if your project didn't make sense, they'd lend you the money. That isn't good news. I'd rather have you only borrow on things that make sense. Borrowing power. How about buying the business? It opens a door when you have this financial statement. You get better terms. The people love you more. Why? Because between you and the joint venture partner, You're on a cloud. You're a group that has $1 million net worth, and it opens up the doors. And then borrowing power. Again, we're just talking about borrowing money now. I don't care what you're trying to do. Once you have that financial statement, whatever the number happens to be, $1 million, $5 million, $10 million. Again, we can talk about numbers all the way up. We worked in the last year up to numbers above $30 million, and at one time we had three people under contract with over $30 million in net worth that were willing to go on anything that was not too risky. because they still are not looking for great risk. Let's continue on now. And the next page, we have a thing called categories. And let's go through this now, because I'm going to take you step by step. Why do you use it? Now let's talk about when the person's putting up the financial statement, if you're this person with a statement or you're the person putting up the statement, what kind of risk is involved? What kind of payment? We're going to take you through that now. First of all, the joint venture partner provides a financial statement. In other words, you're buying the business, expanding, whatever. And there are no guarantees. You're going to say, what do you mean no guarantees? Well, the thing you have to realize, on many larger businesses, on most larger businesses, over 50% of them, I don't know what the exact number is, you're going to find that the business stands on its own two feet. The financial statement basically opens a door. Once it opens a door, you're going to find many business owners do not ask for additional security other than the business. They don't ask for personal guarantees of the financial statement. They just want to make sure they're working with somebody that can succeed, so they don't have to take that business back. They want to feel good about that person or that group that they have before them. Now, if you think that the provider of the document need only put up his statement to open the doors, you're missing a point. Done that way, and again, you're committing fraud. And what I'm saying here is, don't just say you have somebody. Don't have somebody and not have them committed to writing. Okay? Because unless you have something like this, you're committing fraud. Because you can say, okay, I have somebody with $10 million, I have somebody with $50 million. And over the years, we've talked about programs where somebody rents a financial statement or sets up a joint venture, they don't do it in writing. You do not have to do anything Mickey Mouse in any business transactions. I try to tell you that over and over again. You can make more money honestly than you can dishonestly. And if you're getting to the point where you're thinking you're going to have to become dishonest, I suggest you get back with us, and we'll show you an easier way to do it. You can make more honestly. If you want to do something creative, go skydiving. Buy a racing car. Now, and don't commit fraud. You should go into with the declared intent to set up a joint venture with a statement provider. In other words, a person's going to provide the statement, set up a letter of intent in writing, or set up the complete joint venture agreement. Again, a lot of times we set up a letter of intent because we're not exactly sure what the final form is going to take. When you get down to the end and are approaching the purchase, neither of you are still tied down, except as to term if you do find something. When you get down to that final point, and you have found the exact business, you can then sit down with an attorney and draw up that long form document that spells out the details of your joint form agreement. Your letter of intent just spells out, if we find something, what is the ownership going to be, what kind of guarantees does each provide, what does A do, what does B do in the transaction. You then can notify the agent, broker in the transaction, the seller, okay, of the event that we're now about to go. And again, the key thing to do is full disclose. You don't have to lie to people. What you're going to find is you can tell them the truth. And in this, you're not hiding anything. Just tell them what the progress is. Let them meet the other party. And you're going to find the transactions will then just slide right through. Incidentally, the last thing here is proceeding together is certainly a favorable action because you can accomplish more, expand faster, and agree to a later buyout. And also, if you then go in the beginning with a person with a larger financial statement than possibly you need, you don't have to go back to another person. You can go back to that same person or group and have them go through a number of transactions with you. Because once you've shown them how they can win in the first transaction and not take a great risk and get a fantastic return on their investment, which a lot of times is just time, could be a guarantee, you're going to find they're going to come back and see you over and over again. And they're also going to send a lot of other people to you because success breeds success. Now, the second category, next page, is the joint venture partner now is going to provide a financial statement. Now, category one we had on the other page, the person wasn't guaranteeing anything, basically just opening the door. You're now going to find that the joint venture partner here is going to guarantee something. Now, one thing I forgot to mention in section one we might go back to is in section one we mentioned no guarantee. Supposing the person comes to you and says, hey, I'll put my statement up, I want a certain amount, but I don't really want to guarantee anything. I'll go in with you, but guarantees scare me. Well, what you can do is a two-step transaction. Have a person go in with you under contract with a financial statement, so your joint ventures. And then when you get in there and the guarantee comes up, you can go to the next section, which is the real estate guarantee. In other words, the statement opens up the door, the real estate provides a guarantee. There's nothing wrong with that, except for one thing. These things are costly. So keep that in mind as you do this. In other words, make sure you still have enough cash flow left in doing all these things. Now, next category, the joint venture partner is actually putting up and guaranteeing a minimum area. He's guaranteeing, or she is, equipment, guaranteeing inventory, receivables. The thing in this area is there's not as much risk as a complete guarantee because you have an asset as a guarantee. You can pull back and sell that asset if you had to. You can place a lien on it in the state. So there's less risk in this area than a complete guarantee area. Now, the joint venture partner then will provide the financial statement Again, next category, a total guarantee. So we started with no guarantee, and they're going to get paid a certain amount, as you're going to find out in the next few minutes. The next category is there's a minimum guarantee. And then the third category, where we have fewer people, basically, is the joint venture partner provides a financial statement, and they're going to total guarantee. Now, keep in mind, sometimes people will start in Category 1 or 2, and then after you show them they're not going to get hurt, they'll move to Category 3. Or maybe they'll do it on the next transaction you work on. Be patient. There are more people out there that'll do this than you actually need. So make sure you do it with quality-type business ventures. Now, in this one here, there's a 100% guarantee. And the thing we don't really talk about that much is if you have a person that has a strong enough financial statement, and although we continually tell you that you're going to need X percent down, 10, 20, 30% as a down payment when you buy the business or start it or expand it, you still need money. The thing you have to realize, once you have enough strength in either a real estate guarantee or a financial statement, and I hate to bring this up at this time, we a lot of times end up financing them 100% because the down payment was basically tokenism. If we're willing to put up something as guarantee, many sellers are going to tell you that the down payment isn't required, which means you do end up getting in with nothing down to the seller. Doesn't happen often, but when you do work with these, it happens more often than any other ways of doing it. Now, when you look at the next page, it says, obviously both parties, the one needing the financial statement, the one providing it, will want detailed information about the other. The financial statement and guarantee will have to be verified. Okay, we verify these. You verify them. And the person wanting it will have to meet particular standards of capability. The degree of involvement of the provider and his compensation, whether it's a fee or a piece of the business, will be negotiable. And the things we're about to talk about now, which have to do with fees, are negotiable. They can go up. They can go down. All we did is set this up as a standard a number of years ago, so we had a place to start. And we move down, we move up. What we do then, what you should consider doing, is don't fight the problem. Since there are so many people out there that will provide these or need these, find somebody that's pretty close to what your demand is, whether you're putting up the statement or needing it. And that way you don't have to go through negotiation. I mean, you have a pretty close fit. And again, then it gets down to the point between the two parties to the joint venture is more or less, do we like each other? Do we want to work together? Do we trust each other? And that makes it easier. You shouldn't have to sell these things. They should just fit. Now, if the person needing the financial statement does not have a strong enough management skills to satisfy the provider, you can arrange interim financing in that area until the person's skills reach the level. They may never reach the level. They may have to have support forever. But again, we can have consulting firms. There's all sorts of consulting firms all over the country that provide help. In other words, they will go in and crutch that person on a continuing basis or a part-time basis. There are management firms that will manage it completely. In other words, you can go to part-time help, full-time help, or not even help, where they do the complete thing. And basically, it's like a management company in real estate. They mail you the check. And there's a number of good companies around. We hope it's apparent at this point that we're striving for a situation in which everybody, the buyer, the statement provider, and the seller wins. To paraphrase, we want a win-win-win situation. If you're working with a lender, we want them to win also. If the financing is dangerous, don't burn the people. Anybody. What we want you to do is use another type of financing. What we'd like to do is keep this clean. We'd like to keep this to the point where people can go into it and they know if the business is good and makes sense, they are not going to lose anything. We have to keep the risk down. In fact, what we're shooting for is no failures. We haven't had any yet. And I'll tell you something. If we even sense a little problem, personally, we won't even touch it. We don't want anybody to get burned. The cost of the financial statement. The financial statement now, again, we're talking about $1 million net worth. Above this, the figures climb accordingly. If you're going out on your own and you want to find a smaller financial statement, I say fine. We aren't working anything below that because we find below $1 million, we don't do a very good job. But let's take the three categories. Category one, we normally offer somewhere between $10,000 and $30,000. It's a rule of thumb. Again, you may have to pay less or more. But let's face it, if you have $1 million net worth and you want somebody to put up a statement and even answer the phone, if you don't offer them $10,000, they're not even going to be interested. Now, do you have to pay them in front? No, we usually pay them at the close of the transaction. Will they finance? Of course they will, okay? Because basically, if they're not putting up a guarantee, you're paying them a heck of a lot of money for a little use of their time, okay? In fact, we have people now coming to us that would like to specialize, no guarantee, because they could put their statement up continually. We're not interested in that for other type reasons. Category two. We're offering $10,000 to $30,000 cash. Again, this is financeable. All of this is financeable. It's also flexible. You can offer less or more. Again, you're going to find, unless you start off at about 10, most people don't turn on. We also find with a smaller percentage, we're offering a piece of the company, 5 to 10%. I've had some at 2 or 3%. I've had others that want 14 or 15. Again, the average range somewhere between 5 and 10% as a rule of thumb. Again, the key thing is to put the transaction together. And if you're off a percent or two, what difference does it make if whatever side you're on, you end up getting the benefits you get and it doesn't endanger the transaction? Quit nitpicking. Category 3. We're talking about Category 3 when we're talking about guarantee of almost the total company or the total company or the transaction you're going into. The owners are going to want probably at least 25% of the company. You're not going to get their attention. That may vary as you get into larger areas. But the ones we're talking about, it's normally about 25% and up. It could be 51% and above if you don't do your job. Because if you haven't done anything and you haven't brought anything to the table and you're asking them to guarantee the whole thing, why do they need you? In fact, I want to tell you something. I wouldn't give you a nickel for it. I might pay you a finder's fee and send you off somewhere. I might give you a management job. But if your intent is to own the business, then bring something to the table. Show them what your worth is. If you don't do that, you're going to come back to me crying and say, it can't work. It does work. What you have to do is realize what the real world is and do it that way. You're going to find out that you have problems. How do you find a financial statement? My gosh, I want a financial statement, but how can I ever find one? It seems impossible. Well, one of the easiest ways to find it is family, friends, and relatives. You turn a page. This is the easiest way. It's the cheapest way. It's the best way. Especially if you have a member of your family that has a good statement and your goal is to open up doors. If you then go in with them and they're not putting up a guarantee, what member of your family wouldn't do it? I mean, what are they losing? They're helping a member of the family. You can either compensate them or not compensate them, but it's the easiest way to go. Tell them what you need, what you'll give up. Quit being so chintzy. Give up part of it. You'll end up with a lot more. And also, get these other people a bird dog for you. And you'll find that in addition to all the other sources we've given you in this program, you're going to find they will go out and bird dog. They'll be looking for businesses continually for you to put together for them. And all you end up doing eventually is just putting the things together. A couple of years ago, about a year ago now, I had a friend of mine in another part of the United States that I've been working with that needed a financial statement. And I was trying to get him involved with us in the area also to work and provide a large bank or pool of financial statements available so that we'd have a lot of people to work with all over the country. And because the more we have, the easier it becomes. And what happened is I showed him how to do it, talked to him on the phone. He was able to go out and do it. And what he did is he called me back. He not only got $1.5 million net worth financial statement within about a day, the person he got it from referred somebody else to him 3 days later. And true story, and this is from the Midwest, he had almost $90 million in financial statement guarantees in less than 10 days. That he was able to use and is using today in his guarantee program in that part of the country, and we work with him. And so it's not as difficult as you think, as long as you're presenting benefit, because everybody wins. Attorneys, CPAs, present your case to them. Tell them what you need. Explain the risk and explain the return to them and their clients. The thing is, a lot of you go to your attorneys, CPAs, and friends like that, and you talk about all these benefits you're going to receive. Well, they'd like to receive those benefits too, because most of the transactions you're working on bring in a lot more net than those attorneys and CPAs ever thought they'd make in a lifetime. And what you have to do is realize you're going to share it with them. You're going to help them also. And don't be afraid to share the wealth, because the more you share the wealth, the more you're going to have. And let me tell you something. It took me a long time to practice that, because for many years I would say it. You're going to have great pain trying it, but it does work. Advertise in the paper. Again, if you're looking for a business or a guarantee or a statement, $100 million net worth, again, try small local newspapers, things like that. Maybe your local business newspaper. If you're going to go over $1 million net worth, I'd suggest putting an ad in the Wall Street Journal. And again, if you have been following these publications, you'll find there are ads in there. I'm sure there are graduates of our program or people that have ordered this tape. And you're going to find that what happens here, it does work. You will find people come forward. What you have to do then, have something to show them that makes sense, that they can win in, that they're not going to lose in the area. And the last thing is advertising in our business report. And we have different programs. And if you want to contact your office, you can find out. But the thing is, we have a lot of people every month that advertise in our national newsletter that we put out. And they advertise for financial statements. And when you're reading the newsletter, you're going to find other people in there that are advertising the fact that I have a financial statement. What do I suggest you do? Read the newsletter and call them and put the thing together. It's not as difficult as you think. And I want to tell you something. When you sign that contract with a person that has $1 million statement, you do realize that you basically almost have half of that thing yourself. You're going to feel like a millionaire. Why? Because you are part of a group that has this fantastic net worth. Try it. You will like it. It is really fantastic. The next category we have here, category four, is the real estate guarantee. And when you look at this category, the thing you have to realize is when a person's in business, a person's selling a business, a person is starting a business, whatever it is, people always like to have guarantees on things. And the thing is, although a financial statement is a good thing, very few people in the country really want the guarantee of a financial statement. Some do, but most of them love real estate. When a person's selling a business, talk to them. Say, hey, would you like to carry back the financing against their business? If they start to balk, if you just mention it to them, even if you have it available, would you rather have the lien or the note you're carrying back, the financing you're providing, would you like to have it secured by the business down the street? You'll find, lo and behold, most business owners, even though they have a fantastic business, don't feel very secure by placing a lien against their business. They'd rather have the lien against a business down the street, even though they don't know it. If you really want to get to them, and again, we do this every hour of every day, ask them if they'd like to have real estate. Now, keep in mind, do not start to offer financial statement guarantees. Do not start to offer real estate guarantees unless they are required. Why? In most cases, they are not required. Okay? Now, let's take it from the other side. For those of you selling, number one, if you're going through the other section on financing, if you work it backwards, you can finance the business 100% when you sell it. If you decide, again, I'm repeating what I said before, if you decide to sell that business and the buyer is not strong enough, why not have them go out or help them in finding somebody that does have a statement that'll come in, that'll provide that security you want, or the real estate especially, because the real estate is what everybody loves to have in business because they feel it's safer. As we go through this, I want you to realize everybody wins in this situation, and if you'll just be patient, whether you're the owner of the real estate, the person selling, the person buying or starting. Be patient as we go through this section and you'll find everybody wins. It's also very simple. Now at last, we can create a marriage between real estate investor and the entrepreneur. Don't panic. I'm writing in a business, not a biblical sense. Now keep in mind one thing. We're talking about a marriage. Many years I've worked in the area of business ownership, business education, financing. What most people don't realize, I also work a lot in real estate. We own a lot of real estate. I don't work there as a broker, even though I have a license in the area. I basically work on it on real estate that I own. Now, this real estate guarantee program has been used for some time, but on a limited basis. It was created to give the seller the financial and emotional security he wants. And that's basically what we've done a lot over the last few years. When I have purchased real estate or come up with real estate, everybody thinks that really I wanted to own it. Well, it was another benefit. I was using it as guarantees or other securities on businesses we were buying, our friends of ours were buying, and we're using that as part of our vehicle. So it's always worked out very well. You may have come across a typical situation. This, again, let's repeat. The seller would rather have the financing of the purchase based on the business across the street rather than his own. Often a seller would appreciate real estate. They love real estate. If you're able to use real estate, yours or someone else's guarantee, it means you can shift the purchase loan from the purchase from the business, and the business will be free and clear. And again, we're going to develop that and show you how we do that. And for those of you sitting there wondering, there's so many ways to take this, I could actually spend 20 or 30 hours putting together a program just showing you the variations of using real estate as a guarantee. But once you get started and start to use it, you're going to find out how well the thing does really work. Keep in mind also, in a lot of transactions in business, the buyer of the business or the person in the business does have a lot of real estate. But the problem is, does the buyer of that business or the person in that business have the real estate that the other party wants? Once you start to go out into the marketplace and realize there's a variety of real estate available for guarantees that the people will put up in a win-win situation, what you're going to find is you can't quite give them exactly what they want, but if it's an office building within a reasonable area or an apartment building within a reasonable area or land, whatever it happens to be, and they give you a reasonable parameter or area to look in, what you're going to find is it works out very well. Again, I've had many people over the years, again, for those of you familiar with counseling, that will tell me that they want something within 14 feet of where their business is as a security. What I always do is sit down and talk to them and ask them why and suggest other things and ask them how they feel. And in almost every case, they expand their opening. And the other thing is, I then will come back with 5 or 10 pieces of real estate in other areas, even other states. And the thing that always fascinates me, if those pieces of real estate are good pieces of real estate with appraisals on them, you're going to find that the average person loves them no matter where they are. They love real estate, which I think is great. Again, if you're able to use real estate, you can finance 100%. Now, in this example here, we're going to talk about it, and then we go to the next page. We're going to show you the example. Say we're going to buy a business for $500,000. It requires $100,000 down, and the owner said, hey, I'll finance $400,000, but I want the $100,000 down. Now, the carry-back loan, because the owner said, hey, I would rather not have the business as security. Can you provide real estate? And I then will take the $400,000 you owe me and place the $400,000 as a lien against the real estate. Okay, sounds fantastic. Now, keep in mind, it benefits you as the buyer or the person in the business, but it costs money. So you have to make sure you can afford it. Now, the carryback loan, again, is transferred to the real estate for a fee, and you then have a $500,000 business on which to borrow, because if we move the loany loan, which we're thinking of placing on the business, and move it over to real estate, how much of a loan or lien do you have on the business? None. How difficult is it to borrow the $100,000 on a $500,000 business asset value? That's free and clear. Think about it. Even if you don't have good credit, many lending institutions will lend you the money anyway. Why? Because the security is so out of proportion to what you're trying to borrow. Now, up to now, the real estate guarantee has had three main groupings. As you notice, I like to group things and categorize things. I must go back to the days in engineering school. First of all, a person puts up real estate as a guarantee and is paid 10% fee per year. Example, $40,000 a year on $400,000 of real estate equity. Now, supposing the person with real estate owns a piece of land out there, could even be encumbered, an apartment building, whatever. They have $400,000 equity. Again, we don't want to use the last part of the equity, as you'll find out, but on the debt equity that we are using, this is equity they can't use anything else for. We are willing to pay them 10% a year. Now, if they only want to do it for a year or 2 years or five, we can structure anything, work the thing backwards. But the key thing is we're paying them this much. And what they end up doing is getting a fantastic income on what? On something that they normally wouldn't get an income on. We first did this a couple of years ago on a large piece of real estate in the Midwest. We had an apartment building that was 200-300 units, somewhere in that category. I don't recall now. But I do recall the occupancy was 47-48% occupancy. Okay, they had a lot of empty apartment buildings. We then used the X number of million dollars of equity this apartment building had and used it as a real estate guarantee. And do you realize, even though it was under 50% occupied, by putting under real estate guarantee on business, do you realize that real estate was then making what? Positive cash flow. I mean, you can take land, junk land that you have out there, as long as we can get an appraisal on it, as long as nobody's going to get hurt, and you'll find that people will pay you 10% return. Again, is it always 10? 10% is a starting point. Some people only want 7 or 8 and end up at that level. We have others that end up at 15 or 20. Again, the key thing to keep in mind, it's negotiable. And as long as you are reasonable in what you're asking for, you're going to find that you can put it together, okay, as long as everybody wins. Second category, the person puts up the real estate as a guarantee and receives 6% a year and a piece of the tax benefits and also part of the ownership. And what we're doing is we have different categories. One is 10%. What you're going to find is when you're working on businesses that make $1 million net before taxes and above, 10% cash flow can be provided pretty easily and still leave enough benefit in dollars left so you don't have a dangerous situation. As you start to get down toward in businesses that maybe only make 50 or 100, 200,000, you're going to have to temper the thing because 10% is going to pull out too much. So at $1 million and over, I find very few cases where the 10% cash or above does not work. You're also going to find that certain people want tax benefits, or they want ownership, and they don't want the other, or they want a combination. So what we have is we have a combination program. First of all, you can get all cash. Secondly, you can get tax benefits in cash. Or thirdly, you can get a piece of the business, which gives you tax benefits in cash, or a combination. In other words, we can give you part ownership, part cash, tax benefits, any way you want to structure it by working the thing backwards, as long as each party in the transaction will be fair. Now, even without a sterling financial statement, the real estate guarantee plan allows you to finance almost any business purchase, startup, expansion. Why? What you're doing is putting up something else as security that the person putting up the money wants as security. You're giving them what they want, or pretty close to it. Let's look at the next page now. Look at the example. We have this $500,000 business. We already stated it's going to require about $100,000 down. The owner then is going to finance $400,000. Now, let's take step one. The business is priced at $500,000. That's in the left column. As you go over to the right column under real estate, we're looking at a piece of real estate with $1 million value. There's a first deed of trust or mortgage, a lien. They already took out a loan or they owe money on that real estate. There's a lien against it, which means if you take the value of the real estate, and we're talking about with MAI appraisals, okay? We don't just take somebody's word for it. We get an MAI appraisal and then we verify it. You should do the same thing. $1 million value. It has a $200,000 lien. So what's the equity? left in it, $800,000. We don't want to place liens against real estate where we take all the equity. If we do that, we then put the person that owns the business in a dangerous situation. Because what happens if the value of the real estate falls, which happens, as you know, occasionally? Not occasionally. Last few years, it's been happening quite a bit. So let's take step two now. Step two, there's $400,000 owed to the business owner. We aren't going to place a lien against the business for $400,000. The owner wants the lien against the real estate. So we put a second deed or trust or mortgage against the real estate. Now, is the owner of the business that is now going to have a lien against real estate in safe position? Yes, as long as there's enough equity remaining. And right now, on this $1 million value, even with two liens on it, how much do we have left? $400,000. You're going to say, well, does 40% always work? No. I can show you farmland in the Midwest. If we had used something like that, those things have fallen even more, and you can hurt somebody. What we have to do is take it on a case-by-case basis, year by year, and always go super conservative. Number one, we don't want to burn the buyer, the seller. We don't want to burn the owner. We don't want to burn the bank. We don't want to burn anybody. If you get in a situation like that, let me repeat. There are other types of ways of financing. Let's not goof up this program. Now, step three. Why would the real estate person do this? Well, you're going to find that the real estate owner will allow you to place a lien against it as long as two things happen. Number one, we tell real estate owners, and we do perform in this area, that we are only going to place a lien against the real estate and give them a return on it if one thing happens. Number one, we are only going to put them in a situation where the business that they're in the joint venture with or agreement with has the same risk factor or less. In other words, they are going into a safer position. You understand what I'm saying? Now, for those of you who are in real estate, it's like shifting a loan. If you have real estate A and real estate piece B, many lending institutions will allow you to shift first and second loans against those real estate properties to another piece of real estate, as long as what? The second piece of real estate is as safe or safer than what they had a security before. So the key thing is what? As much or more safety. And if you have that, you're going to find that's one step that you've gotten by. Now, the real estate owner is now going to be in a situation where they have the same or less risk. Now, the real estate owner now is going to be paid $40,000 a year. And this is on debt equity. This is cash they wouldn't normally have. This is cash that on a lot of pieces of real estate takes that piece of real estate that's losing money or breaking even and puts a thing in the black. I mean, think about owning a piece of real estate. You have $1 million debt equity sitting there. We have people in business that'll pay $100,000 and above a year to use that. And let's face it, real estate doesn't have that much cash flow. We see this category as the wave of the future. I hope I'm around 10 or 15 years from now to see what the real estate people, my good friends in real estate, have done with this type program. Because this has to be one of the best areas, as maybe real estate loses benefit, where we in business in a joint venture can provide them with cash flow, with them then providing us with a little more security. And again, the $40,000 can be part cash, part equity, tax benefits. Again, it's negotiable. And as long as you're fair on each side, you're going to find that the transaction works. Now, once we have placed this $400,000 lien, the buyer is still going to need $100,000 for the down payment. And what they normally do is borrow against the business assets of the corporation of $500,000. Now, that is not the only way to finance. In this transaction here, we're doing it as simple as possible. As you go through the rest of this program, you're going to find there's many other ways that are simpler, easier, cost you less money than going this way. Now, so what we have is, we have the person with the business getting a lien against the real estate. We have the person with the real estate receiving 10%, $40,000 a year plus other benefits. Now, the owner of the real estate not only has a lien against the real estate, they get cash, and then what do? We then give them a second lien against the business. It's an offsetting lien. Although we have now placed a lien against the real estate for $400,000, we're giving them a second position in the business for how much? $400,000. So what is their overall equity differential? It really hasn't changed at all. All we've done is give them equity in a business for using up some of their equity, and if they're willing to do that, we're willing to pay them a certain amount of money or give them benefits, ownership, whatever they want. And as long as you can set it up so everybody wins, you're going to find that people don't mind doing this. The acceptance has been very good. We do this all over the country. In fact, ever since we started, we've always had more real estate under contract as guarantees than we've had statements. And in both categories, we've always had more people under contract willing to do it than the people like yourselves that needed it. Now, in the past, the real estate program had its glitches. Oh, did it ever. It still has today, but not as much. A real estate owner would say, I'll put my real estate up, but you have to guarantee the business. This forced us in the position of having to send our CPAs out to confirm the business appraisal. Then the business owners would respond, fine, now we want you to verify the value of the real estate. Very much of that, and the cost would pile up to a frightening amount. We had to put up so many guarantees that the transactions didn't make sense, especially to us, the people who are trying to facilitate it. So we backed off from the working program until we can come up with a more pragmatic approach. And now we think we have the answer. We call it risk matching. And I'm going to give you an overview now. In the next couple of years, we expect to come up with a mathematical approach measuring risk in business, the same as we came up with 8 or 9 years ago when we came up with pricing a business. And again, it's just going to be a mathematical approach. We should have it out in the next 2 years after we verify more of it. What we do now is we place real estate in the 1 of 5 categories. Real estate with positive cash flow, apartments, shopping centers. Category 2 would be real estate that's break-even. 3 would be real estate with negative cash flow. 4 would be currency land. Currency land, if you don't understand, is land that sort of holds the earth together, doesn't serve any other purpose. And then encumbered currency land, which is 5 basic categories. There's more than that, but these are 5 general categories. As we proceed over the following months and years, these categories will be further refined. We then will be able to show the people in business what the risk factor also is in the real estate side. We already have that available to the real estate people to show them what the risk factor is in the business they're getting involved in. And keep in mind, we try to keep them over $100,000 net before taxes in over 10 years in business. We're trying to keep them going into businesses or guaranteeing businesses that have a failure rate of 1% or less. Why? Because what we like to do is have very little failure. I mean, with the average failure rate plus doing it right, the chance of these people failing should be little, remote, and almost none, which is what we're shooting for. And so far, so good. The program will match the real estate category with a business counterpart. Example, the highest class of business would be 10 years old or more, netting $100,000 with a very low industry rate. We would then match them up with comparable real estate. Okay, so everybody knew exactly where they were. We still verify the numbers, double-check them, but we'd have another thing to go on. Again, our weighted value system that we have in pricing businesses works, and again, we hope to create the other. And again, if you give us another year or two, we'll have the program finished. Our goal is to have a computerized program in order to quickly risk match a business with the appropriate real estate. Because of the public's general nature and natural feeling about the safety of business, we probably will assign our lower risk business to a slightly higher risk real estate, as long as the condition exists. Because let's face it, even if real estate and business had the same risk, we'd never be able to put them together because everybody still would assume that the real estate's a little better. So there's going to be a little weighting in there, so you understand. We'll be able to enter a piece of real estate into the computer and get a printout of all the available businesses it could guarantee. Conversely, the entry of the description of a business would bring a printout of the real estate available to guarantee it. We already have pieces of this available. Again, you're going to have to be patient. The real estate guarantee program will probably take longer to bring to its final state, be ready to use, simply because there are more variables. Again, it's absolutely essential that everybody involved is protected to the greatest degree possible. It has to be another one of those win-win systems, or why bother? You're wasting your time. The last thing we want to cover on the next page is how do you find this real estate? I mean, we talk about it, but how do you find this? First of all, number one source has to be real estate brokers, and this is what I do. I give a lot of talks at real estate meetings. I talk to real estate friends of mine. And no matter what they're working on, most of them are aware of larger pieces of real estate that they will pursue, look into for a fee. And what happens is by having them bird dogging for us and you try the same thing, you're going to find this works. And don't tell me you don't know a real estate broker. There's somewhere between $1.5 million and $2 million of them in the country. In fact, my saying was that eventually everybody will have a real estate license, and we're getting close to that now. Again, especially talk to commercial brokers, industrial brokers, and present your case. Talk to real estate exchangers. Again, a good source. Number two is actually better for me. And also, if you're wondering how to find these people, you can go to the board and they'll give you a list, or you can just go to the Yellow Pages. And many of these people are in the Yellow Pages listed by specialty, and you can call them and talk to them. Again, if you're having trouble explaining it to them, why don't you just sit down and let them listen to this tape, and I think they'll understand. Have them listen to the tape at the same time they're reading it, and it'll then dawn on them what we're doing, if they're not already familiar. We haven't reached all of the brokers yet, but we're trying. Advertising in the newspaper. You're going to find smaller real estate, usually up to about $1 million equity. Again, we're talking about using the local newspapers. Again, if you're looking for larger real estate, you need over $1 million. Again, we use the Wall Street Journal. And again, we use the Friday real estate section, which is the big section. And again, for those of you who have very large businesses, all over $1 million, you might even consider advertising on Friday in all the editions that the Wall Street Journal has. Are there other sources? Yes, but you're going to find these work very well. Also, I'd suggest you might try advertising in our business report. And again, I'm not trying to plug this. What I'm trying to show you is a source that works very well for us. In addition to having a lot of people advertising that want financial statements or will put them up, we also have people advertising every month in there that have real estate are willing to put it up. So contact them, work with them, find out what they have, and put together the transaction. And what you'll find is you'll have the real estate to use, but keep in mind the one warning I keep trying to put across. It works very easy. The putting these transactions together is not difficult. The problem is, before you sign the final papers, make sure there's enough cash flow left to fund all these things you're doing, because it does cost you extra money. And one last word. In most cases, if you do it properly, you will not need a real estate guarantee or a financial statement. You will not need that cost. So don't go out offering it in front. Just know and realize that behind you, you have this available. And it does work.